New roof? Take care of it before everyone else starts calling, before the thunderstorms start pounding us. That way, next time I drive by, I won't have to worry. I'll know your home is protected. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
At B-Dubs, you get 21 types of sauces, wall-to-wall flat screens, and 2 nights of specials on wings. Wing Tuesdays and Boneless Thursdays at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to know in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort and rolling towards the weekend with Dan Strauss and Ian Geis here in the studio. Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
Very good.
We were just right before we went on here, I was getting my weekly update on how Ian's son Archie is doing. And, you know, he's what, 13, 14 months now?
14 months,
like
yes.
That. And so he's walking, and you're taking him to places where he can climb. And I was talking about the fact that when they're that age, kids don't understand the ladder concept of how you climb. Like, no. like when you and I climb up a ladder or up steps, well, we're
talking about... Well, one, yeah, we're probably not climbing up anything anymore.
Right.
Try not to.
And when you go up steps, you're not using your hands, but when you're that size, it's a four...
On the all fours.
Yes, it's a four-appendage system that has to work. But unlike when they get older, when, you know, they'll move their right leg up and simultaneously move their right hand up to the next step, no, if there's a step that they have to move up to... Both hands go on that, and then one knee goes up, and then the other knee goes up. And so now they're on one step before they begin the next step up.
Yes.
That's how I do it now.
And we were also talking about, and I didn't know this, there are very few places that still have a ball pit.
Yeah, I wonder if that's for
hygiene, you think?
Yeah, a hygiene thing.
Did the Department of Health close down ball pits?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, because I know some of them McDonald's have that playland, but I don't think they have ball pits in them.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it's mostly all those enclosed, like, clubhouses where you can climb up different levels and...
Or maybe they were just sick and tired of picking the balls up all over the place, because, you know, they would fly out and...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Be kicked all over the
place. Through that little zipper door.
Oh, yeah.
The kids could throw the balls out of there. And,
yeah.
And also, you know, the other part of it I'm sure they're sick of... was somebody would leave their kid in the ball pit and then go order the food or whatever it is, and then you'd come back and there'd be crying, and some employee had to go in there and find the kid and help that.
Yeah.
I remember when my daughter was maybe 6 months older than Archie is now, taking her to a place with a ball pit. I don't think it was the City Museum. I don't remember where it was, but it was someplace that had a ball pit, and... because I was so much taller than she was, I had not gauged the depth of the balls that were in this pit. And I thought, well, I'll just put her down in here. And all of a sudden she goes, whoop, and now she's underneath.
Oh, yeah.
And you cannot see her at all. Did you ever do that with Alyssa?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
It just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then you're diving in with your own hands. I got to save my kid.
And you don't think, I didn't really, I when I first saw the ball pit, I thought, well, what is, it's not. You know, it's just balls.
Yeah, it's plastic balls. What can go wrong?
It's slippery. You get in there, and it's like, whoosh, you go down.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And those things get out of the way, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I see here online, it looks like health and hygiene is why most of them got rid of it.
Yeah, because some of those, you know, you'd get bring your baby up or something like that, or a toddler, and all of a sudden the diaper's
gone.
And
it's hard to clean.
Oh, see, I didn't think about the diaper part. I thought about the snot part.
Oh, well, that too.
But, yeah, you have kids going to the bathroom in there, too.
Oh.
And sometimes the diapers don't hold everything in. And then how do you clean a ball pit? You have to take each individual ball out.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can just hose it down.
Jenkins, get in there!
Jenkins. Poor Jenkins.
Oh, man, I had not considered that in a long, long time.
You can order your own ball pit for home.
Yes, we have some of the... We ordered some of the balls just by themselves and put them in whatever, either a little inflatable pool or...
Yeah, you can do
cardboard
that.
Box.
Yes, or laundry basket. We did that, too.
Yeah, that same thing. Yeah. Kids are more, and by the way, that is exactly what a kid wants.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to get, you know, well, my kid's starting to get 3 years old now. I'm going to have to get him an Xbox. No, just get him a laundry basket full of balls, and you're good for an hour.
That's what, I sent a, I took a picture the other night. It was Archie sitting on the floor, and then in the background there was a giant playpen full of toys. And for the last hour, he had a plastic bottle and its cap, and he was playing with that.
Like a water bottle?
Yes. Just taking off the cap, trying to screw it on, unscrew it. Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
so I go, all those toys that he has to play with.
Yep. Well, you know,
empty water bottle.
Generations of us know in the back of our brain that the kid is going to want to play with the cardboard box. You know, it could be Christmas. You get
that
him
was
all
always
the
big joke. You buy a big toy that was real expensive with the giant box, and then the toy sits there.
Yeah, it's a 14-cent cardboard box. It's a $200 toy. The 14-cent cardboard box is going to have their attention for hours and hours and hours. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of kids, today was a big day for my kid, who is going to graduate from college in May.
Wow.
But in order to do that, she had to complete something called a colloquium today. I didn't finish college myself, so I didn't know what this was. And I don't think it goes on at every college. But at the college that she goes to, she had to complete this, and she had to get up in front of three professors and talk about what has essentially been what she's been studying for all these years and give, like, an oral presentation to them and be interrupted by them. It was like going to the Supreme Court where the justices are asking you questions to justify all this stuff that you've talked about and written about and all this sort of stuff. I could not do it.
Is she good at getting up in front of people and talking and
Like that? Because she started playing piano when she was very, very young, and she did some plays in high school, and she has a father who does a lot of public speaking.
Yeah.
You know, she's okay about that. She was more nervous about knowing everything before she went in there and being able to do a good presentation than it was the fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
She doesn't have that at all.
Yeah.
And you have to pass this thing.
Is it just a pass-fail thing?
Yes. There's no grade. If you don't pass it, then you get another chance to do it in April. And then after that, I don't know what happens, but look, here's the good news. She passed.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
And so now we're just on the glide pattern to graduation in May.
So if she wouldn't have passed,
she would have had to try it again next month.
Try it again, and then at that time.
I don't know what happens after that.
I wonder if they don't let you graduate or something like that.
I'm going to have to win Powerball, or she ain't going to be.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
You need to give us more money so you can try again.
Yeah. As I said to my daughter when she called me today to tell me that she had passed, I said, well, you must feel an enormous burden has been lifted from your shoulders, because there's a lot of stress, you know, built into doing this thing. It's like taking a whole day of finals in one day.
Wow.
And so she was happy, and I could hear her how happy she was, and I said, so what are you going to do now? She said, Dad, I'm going to have a drink. She's 21 years old. She can have a drink if she wants. And I thought to myself, you know what? I wish I drank, because I'm very relieved. I didn't say this to her, but my wife and I, after we talked to my daughter, my wife and I then called each other, because she was at work, and I said, are you as relieved as I am? She said, whew.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh.
Because we've been hearing about this stress for so long.
Now, how long did it take her to go through the whole process?
You mean today?
Yeah.
She was in front of them for about an hour and a half.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a long
that's
time.
That's a long time.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying I can't do that. I speak for a living, and if I had to filibuster for an hour and a half on the radio about nonsense, well, that's what I do already.
Yeah.
But to do it about
on
something
a serious topic.
On an academic level, and she read me the book list that she had. You know, as she's reading it, I didn't say this to her, but as she's reading it, I thought, you read that? You, holy, just impressive as all hell. But no. Then again, that's the sort of stuff you do when you're in college. I'm in my 50s. She says, did you ever read that? No, I never read that. No, if I did, I forgot it.
When you talk, and when we're on the air here, and we could talk for an hour and a half, but at least we get commercial breaks.
Mm-hmm.
We get news breaks.
Mm-hmm.
She had the whole, that hour and a half to fill in with all that stuff.
Plus, they're peppering her with questions about it.
She couldn't say, we'll be right back.
No.
I'll be right back after this.
No. So I'm very proud of her.
That's awesome.
Big deal for the whole family. Couple of other things I want to mention here. One is the news out of Los Angeles today that they're... I'll tell you something. When you do a show like this, and I'm talking about her having to prepare for a long time to come up with what she was going to talk about, and this is her 4 years of college experience kind of distilled down into this one big day. When you do a radio show like this, whether it's a daily show or, for me, a weekly show, you wake up in the morning and you think to yourself, well, what am I going to talk about today? Mm. And then you turn the news on and you see the words O.J. Simpson and knife. And you go, well, I know what I'm talking about today. This story that broke this morning is unbelievable. And if you have not heard about it yet, apparently some cop has been holding on to a knife that was found on O.J. Simpson's old house, the property there on Rockingham Lane. Remember mm-hmm. that name?
Yes.
This whole thing seems to me like it's promotion for the FX network.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, could FX have asked for better timing on this? So the TMZ broke this. They say, we're told that a construction worker found the knife years ago. And by years ago, we mean it could be as long ago as 1998. Now, remember, Nicole and Ron were killed in 1994.
Yeah.
So this would be, it was found maybe 4 years later when the house was being demolished.
Wow.
The construction worker, and the LAPD was out today having a press conference and confirmed that this TMZ report is true. The construction worker took the knife to the street where he saw an LAPD cop, and he told the officer where he found the knife. The cop took it. The cop wasn't on duty at the time. He was off duty doing security for a movie shoot at a house across the street on Rockingham. And the officer took the knife home and kept it and didn't tell anybody else.
How could you do that? What in the world?
You know, and I remember from 94, and I'm not watching the FX series, but I know you are.
Yeah.
All that talk about the incompetence of some of these cops and
You know,
the racism of Mark Furman and all those things that came into the case that the Dream Team brought up to destroy their credibility. Well, this is another one of those things that does not reflect on the LAPD very well.
No.
Even if you're not an on-duty cop, somebody bring, hey, I just found this knife that was buried on the property at O.J. Simpson's house. Oh, all right, I'll just take that home and won't do anything with it.
Let me just throw it in my trunk.
What was it, too? He was going to get it engraved or something?
Well, here's what TMZ says. In late January of this year, after the cop retired from the LAPD, he contacted a friend who had worked in the LAPD's robbery and homicide division. The cop told his friend about the knife and said he was getting it framed to put on his wall, and he wanted to get the departmental record number for the Nicole Brown Simpson Ronald Goldman murder case, which he planned on engraving in the frame.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, it's possible he had this since 1998. Maybe it was 2008, whatever it was. But he's been holding on to this, and now he finally goes in January of this year to a cop buddy and says, hey, can you give me that? I want to engrave this, and I'm going to...
murder weapon.
Then it says, we're told the friend was indignant and told his superiors. The brass was outraged and demanded that the retired cop turn the knife over, which he did.
Yeah, thank goodness for that guy. It would have been otherwise just never found.
Now, the shocking thing to me, I was watching this press conference that an LAPD spokesperson was doing out in front of their headquarters today, was he said, in the years since the Simpson-Goldman murder, they don't call it the O.J. case, In the years since the Nicole Brown Simpson, Ron Goldman murder, many knives have been found on that property.
What? Many knives?
Many knives have been found on that property.
Nobody's heard anything about that.
Wait a minute.
Many knives?
You know, I've lived in my house for 17 years. In those 17 years, exactly zero knives have been found on my property.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of property, but I have a house, and I've got a yard. We found no knives there.
Well, maybe they're talking about his utensil drawer.
No, I mean, no, that would have been in his utensil drawer.
That would have been on the property. Well, maybe that's how they justify that statement. Yeah, when they tore the house down, we took the utensil drawer out, and there were
and he had one of those butcher block things, the knives in it.
Yeah, and Jenkins was carrying it, and he tripped over something, and they went way up in the air and fell, and nobody saw where they fell. And over the course of the next few years, several knives were found on the property. So now the knife is being tested for hair and fingerprints, and then they'll test it for blood and DNA and other biological evidence. TMZ says one source familiar with the investigation tells us that cops who eyeballed the knife think it could have blood residue on it, or it could be rust. Really? Police officers told you that?
Wow, they are such a joke.
Yeah. Could be grape jelly. We're not sure. Yeah, we saw something on there, but we're going to say it could be blood residue because we want to freak people out.
Man.
So this whole thing was top secret until TMZ broke the story.
Wow.
It had been logged into the LAPD computer system outside of the official case file to, quote, maintain security, unquote. And then here's the thing you got to remember about this. Even if they find biological evidence, if they found OJ's fingerprints and Nicole's blood on that knife,
they can't retry him.
Correct.
Double jeopardy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
And here's the other thing about this.
Which is a great movie, too, with
Ashley Judd and Morgan Freeman, right?
Yeah.
Is he in that?
I don't know if Morgan Freeman's in it.
Or is he in like a spider?
Oh, no. Tommy Lee Jones is in it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing you have to remember about this. They say they're going to take this knife off, and they're going to give it to the forensics people, and they're going to, you know, do whatever they do to find out what's on there and study what's on there. We're all used to watching CSI or Law & Order or Rizzoli and Isles or whatever cop show you watch where something comes in, take that to the lab. And then an hour later, after lunch, they walk down to the lab. What have you got? Well, we've run it through the spectrometer. And
yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that
it's
fast.
It's the murder weapon.
Yeah. It'll be like a month before. Oh, we can rush it. It'll be 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Before they can get through all of that stuff. So the cop who did the press conference at the LAPD today is not saying where it was found, is not saying when it was found, just that a retired officer had it. And he said, now remember, this is still an open case. The Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman murders are still an open case.
It is?
Because OJ was acquitted. So, so officially, they don't know who the murderer is.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We all know who the murderer is. And OJ, OJ never found the real killer.
No.
Never actually looked.
He spent a lot of hours on golf courses looking for him, though.
Yeah, well, that's what I have to ask
him
about.
Or her.
Him or her, good point. but you got to ask yourself, if this is considered an open case, what's the last time somebody even looked in that folder?
Oh, no.
95, 96, maybe?
Is that TV show Cold Case still on the air?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, because somebody in there would go, I'm not looking at that.
The folders have rust on it like the knife does.
Oh, man. You know what, Don? Does this mean that they're going to have to, this OJ, People versus OJ thing is 10. There's 10,
10 episodes?
Episodes. They're going to have to now rush and make an 11th episode with the knife issue.
How many episodes are they into it now? Like four or five?
Four or five, yeah. I can't remember how many. I think it's four.
Well, the forensics people are going to have to come up with their answer before the producers have to go back and get John Travolta back into the weird, ghoulish makeup.
Yeah.
I haven't been watching it, though. Is he still, as Robert Shapiro, he still looks completely weird?
Yes, yeah. He does look very weird. And I didn't know Shapiro was that big of a jerk or something like that. But I'll tell you what, whether or not you agreed with Johnny Cochran or not, I would take him if I needed a defense attorney, I would take Johnny Cochran in a second.
I got a chance to interview him when he opened up his St. Louis office.
Yeah.
Which was about, 10 or 12 years ago. And I was told ahead of time, you can't ask him anything about the OJ case. And I said, well, I'm not doing the interview. Why else am I going to have him on? I'm not just going to have him on here to promote that. And so when I finally got him on the phone, I said, I'm told that I can't ask you about the, you can ask me about anything you want. And he was completely open about it. And you could tell that this guy, A, had a big brain, big, big brain on this guy.
Yeah.
And B, big cojones, too, because he's willing to try anything, which is what you want.
Yes.
If you're in trouble and you got to get a defense attorney, you want a guy who's big-brained and big-bald, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I
hate to bring things down to the level of a presidential debate in here.
No.
Language like that. I got some stuff to say about that, too, but we got a break here. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. We'll get to some of your phone calls when we come back after this.
Meet me.
Yeah. Speaking of gloves... Here's Tim Weiland. He has a look at traffic.
I'm trying to figure that one out.
Well,
speaking
gloves?
Of gloves.
Yeah, so gloves. Yeah. Well, it was OJ.
You know the joke about the guy who had five penises? His pants fit like a glove. That's where Dan was going. He didn't want to go all the way there, but since the presidential candidates can do it now, I can do it.
Well, I'm sure glad I can make you think that.
Well, it was the OJ thing. The OJ, there was a glove involved there. So we
you're
kinda...
being nice by using the word penis. Most people don't call me that. They call me the other one.
Yeah, I've been around for that.
Yeah, I know. You were one of them.
Oh, I am? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then I apologize
but
for that.
But enough about meetings with management. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, they just cleared an accident. Well, we've got two of them out on Highway 70. The first one they've just cleared, it was on eastbound Highway 70 at West Florissant. Now, that's cleared, but boy, traffic is jammed up west of Highway 170 through about Jennings Station Road. But now we've got a new accident on westbound 70 at Riverview. That's got two right lanes blocked. You're backed up to about Salisbury. Then you've got southbound 170 that's stacking up from Olive down through Highway 40. Westbound 40 just getting heavy now from about Hampton through McCausland. And this traffic report brought to you by Subway. Treat yourself to the new rotisserie-style chicken sandwich from Subway, made with tender, hand-pulled, all-white meat chicken raised without antibiotics. The Subway Sandwich Shop. Fresh is what they do. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095. While the other radio stations at 6 p.m. weekdays are doing the same old, KTVI Fox 2 and the Big 550 will keep you updated while you're on your way to wherever you're going. KTVI Fox 2 News at 6 with Sandy Miller and Rafer Weigel on the Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
No company sells and installs more windows than Window World. Hi, everybody. McGraw-Milhaven here for the number one replacement window company here in St. Louis. I've been a spokesman of theirs for at least 12 years, and they have grown exponentially because they have a very simple formula. Great customer service and great windows. In fact, the windows come with the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Window World Windows comes with a lifetime warranty that covers all the parts, glass breakage, as well as labor. For the last 6 years in a row, they've sold over 1 million windows nationwide. Why is that? Because they stand behind their product. Window World. If you're looking for windows, there really is no other company. I would put my reputation behind it. Window World Windows, 314-993-1800. That's 314-993-1800 or windowworld.com. For the best windows at the best price, best customer service, windowworld.com.
100 wins.
It's a Redbird winner!
Three straight Central Division titles.
It's gone and the Cardinals still won
time. An unprecedented five straight postseason berths.
The Redbirds win it 4-0.
A National League best 55 home victories.
And a Central Division title for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Cardinals baseball is back in 2016. Single game tickets start at just $5 and are on sale now. Get yours at cardinals.com.
The St. Louis Cardinals. Tradition meets today.
parents. I have a secret to tell you. I just went on the Cardinals website and saw something amazing. There sure are a lot of days where parents get free stuff like jerseys, rings, hats, and a gnome, whatever that is. And you could even take me to the game with you. I counted at least 40 games with promotions. I bet you didn't think I could count that high. Check out cardinals.com/promotions. Cardinals baseball, where tradition meets today.
Calling all business owners. Are you running your business without being incorporated? If you answered yes, you are now eligible to incorporate in just 10 minutes. It's a quick incorporation event from Incorporate.com, designed to save small business owners from the risk of losing everything. Just call this number for your free 10-minute incorporation guide. 1-800-300-8455. If you're not incorporated, it's not just your business that can be sued. It's you, too, which means you could lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. That's why small business owners across the country are now scrambling to incorporate during this event. Call now for your free 10-minute incorporation guide while supplies last. 1-800-300-8455. Incorporate.com doesn't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. But hurry and call now while they're still giving these 10-minute incorporation guides away for free. Call 1-800-300-8455. That's 1-800-300-8455.
Since I've been doing commercials for R&R Sanitation Porta Potties, my name and my likeness has become synonymous with R&R Sanitation Porta Potties. And so every time people go to an event and go to a festival or they're out and about and they use the R&R Sanitation Porta Potty, they usually send me a picture and say, "Hey, I've been thinking about you." Which is good, because R&R Sanitation is all about customer service, all about quality, and all about cleanliness. They also say, "Hey, I walked into an R&R Sanitation porta potty, and I couldn't believe how clean it was." That's right, R&R Sanitation is setting the standard for the industry. They're locally owned and operated, and the only union toilet company on the Missouri side of the river. And if you need a porta potty for your next party, for your next festival, for your next event, for your next construction project, R&R Sanitation Porta Potties, 314-776-4000. That's 314-776-4000 or rnrportabletoilets.com. They really do want your stinking business, R&R Sanitation.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 4477 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 4477.
This is Dr. Dan Gagliotti. I host the Superior Healthcare Show every Saturday at 3 o'clock. But you can also call me right now. Are you or your family suffering with chronic pain, joint pain, or migraines? Did you know that all of these can be traced back to your nerve system? Stop putting Band-Aids over the issue. Stop covering up your symptom. Address the cause. Solve the problem. Call us at Superior Healthcare, 314-394-1923. Listen to Superior Healthcare every Saturday and call us now at 314-394-1923.
March is National Craft Month, and we're taking the show on the road to celebrate at Schaefer's Hobby Shop on Wednesday, March 9th. Hi, it's Martin Kilcoin. Join Randy Naughton and me as we glue, build, and paint our way around Schaefer's Hobby Shop on Gravois near Lindbergh. That's Wednesday, March 9th. Visit us between 10 and 1 while we're flying drones and making jewelry for National Craft and Hobby Month. That's at Schaefer's Hobby Shop, Wednesday, March 9th, only on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here in the studio with me. Later on, Colin will come in and we'll review three movies that are opening up this weekend. One is the Tina Fey war correspondent movie, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. There's the new Disney animated movie, Zootopia. And there's the Gerard Butler action movie sequel, London Has Fallen. We'll get into all of that in the 4 o'clock hour, along with other showbiz stuff. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, you got your Harris Challenge, you got your knuckleheads in the news, and we have Mike Evans, who I'm sure will have more to say about this OJ story that TMZ broke this morning about the knife that has been found or was found years ago on the property at Rockingham that O.J. used to live in. By the way, that house has been demolished, and it was during either the demolition or the construction on that site that this knife was found, which this is the stunning part to me. This construction worker found it, gave it to an off-duty L.A. cop, and that cop never told any other cop, just took it home as a souvenir. It's just stunning to me.
Yeah.
314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. Those are the phone numbers. Greg, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. I've got to do this kind of quick because I got some people waiting on me. But number one, my question primarily is LAPD going to go after the retired officer for blocking, hindering prosecution, mishandling of evidence? Because obviously we can't get the other one because he was acquitted.
Yeah.
But the worst part is that officer would do such a terrible thing and call himself a retired police officer. I mean, that I just can't get over that.
I agree. I'm stunned by the fact that this guy was handed this by the construction worker and never told another cop. You know, he's out there, he's doing security for a movie across the street, and never thinks to himself, you know, maybe one of the detectives would be interested in this. I know we can't get OJ because of double jeopardy, but, you know, maybe they would like to have this and run it through the system.
And it's still an open case.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to, at the very least, it's going to fire up a whole lot more civil litigation against him. So, it, you know, should he it be proven that, you know, that was his knife and that... you know, the other's blood or DNA or whatever might actually still be on, and a lot of that is going to be determined on how he stored that knife.
Well, you know whose DNA they're definitely going to find on it? The construction worker and the retired cop. Because you know he didn't pick it up with a handkerchief and put it into a Ziploc bag.
Oh, you mean we don't walk around with Ziploc bags in our pockets?
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. You're doing a great job, and have a great day.
Greg, I'm glad you called. Thanks.
Bye.
314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. I'm stunned by this story, and I can't wait to hear what Mike Evans has to say about it later on. We don't do politics on this show, but I don't think you can get through this year without commenting on some of the ridiculousness that's going on here. And I was joking before the break that, you know, I can make a dick joke on the radio because you've got a presidential candidate who last night was referring to as junk on national TV during a presidential debate, which is just unbelievable to me. And for those of you who don't know, this goes back to something Marco Rubio said about Donald Trump's hands. And Ian was mentioning to me earlier that the hand thing is not something new with Donald Trump, right?
No, it goes back, I think I read to some magazine article from the 90s or something like that.
Where they called him a short-fingered vulgarian.
Yes.
It was Spy it was Spy magazine, which doesn't exist anymore, and they called him that. And
Donald apparently has been obsessed with it ever since.
So do you think Rubio knew that that was one of his triggers?
I think so, because I think that the only reason I saw it because that popped up recently on the internet. So I'm sure somebody in Rubio's camp saw the timeline of this and the history of it.
You know, when they talk about him having small hands, all I can think about is that stupid skit, which I didn't really think was all that funny. But remember when Kristen Wiig was on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
The Lawrence Welk thing, and she came out with the doll hands. Normal sized person, but she had baby doll hands.
I thought that was hysterical. I loved that skit every time I saw it.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why, because it was so stupid.
Even if you thought it was funny the first time, how is it possibly funny the second time?
It was funny every time I saw it. It's like Seinfeld. I could see the same Seinfeld episode 20 times and still laugh at the same thing.
Yeah, but if every episode was the same joke.
Well, yeah. But this one, I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I just laughed every time I saw it. Every time I saw it.
Speaking of the candidates, did you know this? I didn't know this until today. under GOP rules, now that Ben Carson's campaign is over, he has to go put those Siamese twins back together.
He does?
Yeah. The rules are so different than yes. every other year.
We just got used to being apart.
I have missed you, Clink. Every year when they get together to celebrate something, instead of clinking glasses, they just bang skulls together.
Oh, yeah.
That's horrible. Horrible. Try to get that picture out of your head.
Oh,
good luck. And here's the other thing I was thinking about, because I think Ben Carson, he suspended his campaign. None of these ever call off their campaign completely.
No, they suspend them.
They always suspend it for for financial reasons. I'm sure it has to do with the money in the bank. I don't know. But I was looking back today, and I forgot some of these people who were running for president. And here's the thing about it. Like George Pataki. You know who George Pataki is? At one point, he was the governor of New York. And he was one of the candidates running for the Republican nomination.
Okay.
Way back last year. Like the Democrats had that Lincoln Chafee, who was the governor of Rhode Island at one point. And for guys like that, or who's the guy from Louisiana, the governor down there, Bobby...
Jindal.
Yes, Bobby Jindal. Or there was on the Democratic side, there was that former senator from Virginia, Jim Webb. You know, these are people who were actual presidential candidates. They never had any chance. But I wish I could be a fly on the wall of whatever meeting it was they had with whoever they had it with, where they convinced themselves or other people convinced them, Lincoln, you should go for it. You have a chance.
Yeah.
Jim, you should go for it. Ben Carson, you should go for it. You definitely have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George Pataki. Oh, George, we definitely can get we'll get hundreds of millions of dollars to back you as you run for president. That had to have happened. Why else would they do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, is Kasich still getting donations to his campaign? I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
But I don't know how when you go back and, because I'm sure somebody records those debates and he goes back and watches it, and the camera is just essentially on those three.
Yes.
Every clip I see, I don't ever watch it, but every clip is just those three.
Well, that's what
at this point, why?
That's what happened in some of the Democratic debates with Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland. It would be like, Hillary, what do you think of Bernie? Bernie, what do you think of Hillary? Hillary, what do you think of Bernie? Bernie, what do you think of Hillary? And you couldn't even see Martin O'Malley on the screen, but occasionally you hear his voice saying,
Yeah, I know.
Hello, I'm still over here.
Yeah. That's what Ben Carson did on one of the debates.
Martin, said, what do you think about Hillary and Bernie?
They gave him the ding.
They would ask him.
They gave Carson the ding. They went ding, ding, and he goes, no, I'm not. And then they dinged him again. I'm not. I'm going
to
finish this
talk.
I don't get a chance to talk.
It's at that point where even though you're on the debate stage and you can't even get a word in edgewise, something has to go on inside your head going, what was I thinking? How did I think that I was possibly going to do this? You know, some of these people who didn't even make it to the first caucuses in Iowa, you know, like Lindsey Graham or, you know, some of these other people. I looked through the list and like Carly Fiorina was in there, Mike Huckabee.
Fact that they were doing the undercard debates.
Yes.
Where they had to split them up and it was on at 4 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
Yeah. You can only be on the main debate if you get 5%. You can't get 5%. Leave.
The first time I'm on that lower debate, I'm out of here.
Yes.
Bye. I suspend my
campaign. You know, and that should tell you all you need to know about those people, that they're that detached from reality. It would be like somebody my age saying, yep, I think I'm going to be a starter for the Cardinals this year. Mm-hmm. I think I've got a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
And then you show up at training camp because you actually think you have a chance. No. You're not even going to get 5% of Mike Matheny's attention. Forget about showing up in the polls.
He may say hi to you. In the dugout.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just before you're escorted out by security.
Yeah.
I'm here to try out. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. Gene, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Okay, I'm wondering why the construction worker never pursued the fact that he gave this knife to the police officer. You know, if I found the knife and I gave it to a police officer and I never heard anything about it, I'd like wonder and go ask.
Who would you ask?
Well, the police department.
I mean, I guess, but maybe he was
LAPD?
Thinking for a while.
Like, if you found it and gave it to a police officer and then you never heard anything about it in the news?
Would you think, though, that if they tested it and nothing was on it, you would just think, well, I guess that's why it never made it into the news. It was just irrelevant to the case.
Yeah, I guess, but I'd still wonder. Just my thoughts.
No, I agree with you. I would wonder, and I do wonder right now.
Yeah, get the guy's name. I don't know if he did.
Yeah, I wonder if he even got the guy's name. Just
set him up.
You know what? I bet that construction worker has no idea the name of the cop that he gave it to, because the cop, I don't know, when they're doing security for a movie shoot, maybe they're still dressed up in their LAPD clothes.
I thought that's why he gave it to him, because he was a cop.
Yeah, somehow he knew he was.
So I guess he's probably in his clothes. So, yeah, would but Gene, would you think to yourself, okay, I'm giving you this. By the way, can I have your name and badge number so I can make sure you follow through?
Yes.
You would do that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. If I found the knife at O.J. Simpson's house,
well,
I think I would probably personally take it to the police department and say, hey, I want, you know, somebody to write this down that I've given you this knife that may have blood on it from O.J. Simpson's house.
Well, no, the first thing you would do, Gene, and remember this took place in 1998 when you couldn't do this, but today in 2016, first thing you would do is take out your phone and take a picture of that thing from every angle.
Yeah.
Instagram it, Snapchat it.
Yeah, it's on Twitter, it's on your Facebook page.
Selfie.
Taking a selfie with a knife. Yeah. And then the cops come back. By the way, Gene, we did run this through the system, and apparently you're the killer because your fingerprints are all over this thing. No, but you're right. I think I would probably, you know, I might even say to the cop, listen, because I found this at OJ's, is there a way for you to call me later and let me know? Because because all I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life is wondering, did I find a piece of evidence from the O.J. Simpson case?
Right. Absolutely. I would document it and make sure I followed up with it.
Yeah. All right, Gene, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Here's Todd on the Big 550. Hi, Todd.
Oh, how are you doing, gentlemen?
Great, thank you.
Back in the old days when soda bottles had a 3% deposit on them, that tells you how old I am.
Yeah.
I was rooting around. I was up the Spanish Lake, rooting around the ditches, and lo and behold, I found a fully loaded 30-06 bolt-action rifle. I don't know if it was Remington, Winchester, whatever. So being a good little kid, me and my buddy, we toted it home. Mom and Dad called the police. Cop comes by, writes out a little whatever police report, throws it in the trunk of his car. About 6 months later, my dad thought, I wonder what happened to that gun. Called the police department, gave him the police report number and everything. What happened to the gun? What gun?
Oh. Uh-oh.
You've got to be kidding me.
He kept it.
Didn't the guy turn it in? What guy? So when I heard this story, I'm like, I'm not at all surprised. Not one bit surprised. Some cop got himself a halfway decent 30-06.
Yes, he did.
Sounds like exactly the same thing. Although in this case, this cop didn't look at it as, well, now I have a new knife. He's looking at it as, well, now I have a knife that's going to be a real souvenir. He obviously knew what it was connected to, because in January, he wanted to get it engraved with the official departmental record number on it.
Well, again, you look at it from his standpoint, what difference would the knife make? Everybody knows O.J. did it. He got away with it. So what? You got the knife that did the job.
Yeah, but you don't know if that's the knife. You have no idea if that's the knife, because Tom Lang, who was the lead detective on the case, he's the guy on CNN today who said, oh, they found a lot of knives on that property.
Yeah, and I wonder how many of those were thrown in by people about, oh, let's have some fun. Another knife in there, you know.
That's possible.
Put some blood on it while we're at it.
That would be funny. You're a construction worker. Honey, how was work today? Well, I found 11 knives and 14 gloves. They're all just one glove. There's no matching glove for any of them. And they're
all covered in hair and blood.
That's funny, Todd. I'm glad you called. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll break it. We'll come back with the showbiz stuff next hour here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, let's see how traffic's moving along. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, all the accidents on east and westbound 70 between Jennings Station and Riverview and then Lucas and Hunt, they're all cleared now. Now, traffic on eastbound 70 still jammed up west of 170 through Lucas and Hunt. And then you're slow again from about O'Fallon Park out through Jennings Station Road westbound. southbound 170 again, Olive down through Highway 40, eastbound 40 downtown. That's heavy Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Now we're getting heavy on eastbound 270, a little bit east of McDonald through 170, and you're slow on westbound 40 between between Highway N and Lake St. Louis Boulevard. This traffic report is brought to you by Little Caesars. Try Little Caesars' large, hot and ready bacon wrap crust deep dish, wrapped in over 3.5 feet of crispy bacon and hot and ready every day between 4 and 8 p.m. only at Little Caesars. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095. Locally owned, locally operated. The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
Hi, I'm Brendan Burchard. Some people call me the world's highest paid motivational trainer. And some people call me crazy because I've just authorized a nationwide giveaway of my recent New York Times bestseller, The Motivation Manifesto. In the next 24 hours, I want to give away as many free books as possible. To get your hardcover copy, text BOOK20 to 99,000. Or go to motivationbook.com. If you want to reach your true potential, personally, professionally, or financially, you need this book. You'll discover how to stop feeling tired and overwhelmed, identify the major enemies keeping you from living your dreams, and learn the secrets to defeating them. I'll teach you my proven strategies to start attaining the levels of drive and personal success you're craving. Financial freedom, emotional freedom, time freedom. Due to high demand, I can only offer one free book per household. To get your free book while supplies last, text BOOK20 to 99,000. That's B-O-O-K, the number 20, to 99000, or go to motivationbook.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Looking to refinance the house? Looking to refinance all that credit card debt? Maybe you want to take some money out of the house. Stuart from Stuart's American Mortgage is here to help. Hi, everybody. McGraw-Milhaven here, and I'm thrilled to tell you about my friend, Stuart Rosenblum, who has been in the mortgage business for 25 years. He has something that he calls the bagel loan. Now, look, I'm a little confused, too. Basically, the bagel looks like a zero, and that's how much he'll charge you. Zero. Zero fees. That's right. Your mortgage will have zero fees, so he passes all of those savings on to you. Stuart's been in the business 25 years. Here is his personal cell phone number, 314-324-4440. That's 314-324-4440. Or you can always check him out online at stuartsamc.com. Zero fees and his personal cell phone. You can't get any better than that. Stuart from Stuart's American Mortgage.
American Mortgage Corporation, number 226715. NMLS, number 267567
This is the Big Five.